Hello everybody, it is me, Kevin Leopoldo, and from the Dominican Republic. I'm here today because Roy Wood Jr. is a very famous comedian, and he said to me in a TikTok message that God is amazing. And I always say, Dios, God is amazing, and everything is amazing. Life is amazing. Love each other. But today we're going down to Nikki West. Is not in the West Coast, is in Birmingham, Alabama. Okay, I'm gonna go in because unlike my counterpart Keith Lee, nobody knows who I am. I only have 3 followers on TikTok. So I'm gonna go into this restaurant and go to Nikki West. Here we go. Hola, hello, sir. I am Kevin Leopoldo. I hear because I'm very famous in social
point
media.
Point to the meat. Which meat you want?
When you say carne, you mean meat?
We got fish, we got pot roast today, and catfish.
Oh, okay. And can I have a little bit of each one to taste?
You get one meat, you get 3 sides. Which one you want?
So what I can tell?
You gotta keep it moving, Pete. Keep it moving, Pimp. Which one you want now?
So what I say is, do you have rice and bean?
You get the rice down there on the sides. Right now I'm meat. All I handle is meat. Which meat you want?
Can I have in the catfish, but also can I have how you say paticas in English?
Pot roast.
Yes.
Pig feet.
That one of that.
Okay.
With the catfish.
No.
Why?
One meat. You get one meat.
But I will pay you.
Nikki West, you get one meat.
No, but I will pay you for two meat. Yo pago pa,
That's two. That's two with 2 sides. We don't do a two and 2 meat. You don't do a 2 meat and 3. You get a meat and 3, and then you get another meat and 3. So you got to get 6 sides. 2 meat, 6 sides.
But I don't want it so much side because.
Where you from?
I'm from Dominican.
Mexico. Okay.
Mexico is far away. Mexico is far away from Dominican. Okay. I Dominican because it's an island.
Get Carlos from the back. Tell him to come up here and talk to this Mexican.
I don't understand. Mexican Spanish different. It's very different.
Carlos ain't back there.
Than mine.
And Carlos. Okay, listen to me.
Oh, okay.
Listen to me.
And your name, sir?
My name Carl.
Okay, Carl.
Uno meat. No dos meat. Uno meat, trace sides.
So I would take the catfish.
Man, I just got out. I ain't got time for this shit.
Okay, I understand. I would take the catfish, okay. The rice.
Okay, don't talk to me about the sides. Talk to them down there. I'm Carl. I handle the meat.
Okay, Carl. Okay, so I would take
then
the catfish.
You go down there.
Give me the catfish.
Earl will get you the side.
Okay,
all
okay.
Right, put that on the plate. There you go.
Thank you, Carl.
Go down. Go down
there.
Oh, my God.
This motherfucking thing. I wanted to meet this guy.
Fuck you, sir.
What?
Fuck you said.
Nah, Errol.
Fuck you said.
Errol.
Fuck your problem.
Listen, Papi, listen. I everything cool. Everything cool. Let me tell you something, man. I got fucking me when I want me. And if I want to me, I get to me. And he say no. So then I come in here to you to fix it.
Okay, I'm called. Okay. Now do me a favor. Look behind you and see that long ass line. You see that?
Yeah, there's
that's from people waiting on you.
Okay.
So what's your sides?
I would take the rice and the mac and cheese.
Rice, mac and cheese. Now you got another side choice. You can get the yams. We got
you have
okra,
batata?
Green beans.
Oh, you got molondrón. Can I have the molondrón?
We don't have molondrón. What the fuck is a molondrón?
Why are you pointing with the spoon? You're pointing with the spoon to the molondrón right
there.
Fuck
you yelling at, bitch ass nigga.
I'm this motherfucking nigga, coño, lo voy a matar, coño.
A victory light.
Yo, what's up, you cowards? It's Victory Light, episode 11. You know what I'm saying? We here live, New York City. It's not live because, you know, Hassan is editing this shit, you know what I mean, to take out all the problematic things I say. But this is a very special episode, B, you know what I mean, because it's an intimate episode. Min is in the building, Hassan's in the building. Victor's in Italy right now, doing Italian things, eating pasta, drinking wine. Very special guest in the building. Huge fan of this guy, man, for a long time.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? From stand-up to the TV stuff, man, I've always fucked with your shit because you're just you. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
You know what I mean? This is Roy Wood Jr., ladies and gentlemen. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get my drinks. Make some fucking noise. Make some fucking noise. Holy moly, guacamole.
How much longer do you think drink champs can last in terms of their liver?
Yo.
Great interviews, great content.
Tremendous.
And they get guests who come on and give shit that they wouldn't give to any other interview. Maybe only Sway could get deeper with people. But I be watching that shit and I'm like, God damn,
bro. Y'all are going hard.
Yeah.
That's a lot of brown liquor, bro.
Come on.
And a lot of it is just like, I've never seen this brand of liquor before. So I don't know. Is this like, you know, high level shit? Yo. Or is this like, are y'all drinking relabeled Cisco? What's going on?
Man, get that shit 10 years. That shit gonna be Juice Champs.
Juice Champs? Stouts. You gonna be down there like, yo,
smoothie
champs. we do strawberry banana kill today, yo. You know what I'm saying? Make some noise.
Turn the blend on.
We gonna do some Indiana flaxseed. You know what I'm saying? Hit that flaxseed. Hit that flaxseed, bro. Come on.
Shout out to Nori, man.
Shout out to Nori.
He gave me a shout out on the episode one time.
And he's really a drinker, bro. Because I see Nori at LAX, and Nori's such an ill dude. This is like you, Nori. It's like a personality type, I guess, of dudes who, when you see them, it could, like, we could have crossed paths like twice or three times. But every time you see him, it's like, yo, what's good, baby? And it's just like it feels like I'm walking on the block.
I saw a live episode. This is going to sound wild, but it'll make sense. I was out drinking with Tom Joyner. The legendary syndicated Fly Jock radio host Tom Joyner. We're in Miami. Tom's got a place in Miami, and that's one of my radio OGs from when I was doing mornings in Birmingham. Yeah. And Tom, you know, he's from Alabama too. He just goes, hey, Kevin Hart is supposed to be doing some shit with that Noriega boy.
Noriega boy.
Let's go watch it. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. And of course, I know about Drink Champs. And I pull up, and it's a live fucking taping of Drink Champs. And I'm sitting there for 2 hours with Tom Joyner, watching Kevin Hart.
Tom Joyner in a pre-roll?
Yeah.
Drinking Douce?
Yeah. For sure drinking Douce. I don't know if he was smoking then. I want to tell all his retirement business. So afterwards, Nori come up. And he's, you know, and Nori's one of the people, he may not know you, but he know you.
Yes.
And he took a long look at me and go, oh yeah, you was the dude Jay Prince was gonna fuck up. How you been?
Yo, Nori will introduce you as the wildest shit. Yo, this one made me, he took a shit of himself at the tunnel in 98. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, bro, that's not my claim of fame.
I have a 26 year career. And it's just, you was the dude Jay Prince was gonna fuck up in Houston one time. I'm like, yes, that is
that's
but,
true.
But that's also not on my resume.
That's a footnote.
Yeah.
Nigga went to the asterisk and went all the way to the bottom. Jay Prince is gonna fuck him up. Bro, it's so ill. Yeah, but Nori's such an ill dude. Seen him at LAX, bumped into him. He's like, yo, Meryl, what's good, baby? What's good, baby? Yo, mad high energy. I said, bro, I'm on a Xanax. I just got off a plane that I've been off for 6.5 hours. My eyeballs ain't even working right, bro. Like, I look like a gecko and shit.
Yeah.
So, but he's just like, oh, you gotta have a drink, baby. We gotta drink. We gotta celebrate, baby. You know what I'm saying? We out here for the culture, for the culture. I was like, no, we're here for two separate reasons. We just happen to be on the same plane, bro. Like, he's no, my nigga, we gotta get a drink.
Yo.
Go to the airport bar.
That's
and he's
the saddest.
Like, and his story. So I'm like, yo, and I'm watching. So from my drink chains experience, I'm thinking he's gonna order like, let me get a triple shot of Douce or on the rocks. Bro, he's like, 13. Let me get a Riesling.
He said a Riesling.
A Riesling. The way the motherfucker said Riesling, I was like, yo, hold on. We drink a dessert wine, bro?
I think it was Blue Label and Johnny Walker. Just Riesling.
That's a Riesling.
I mean, to be fair, y'all drinking across from my Auntie Anne's pretzels.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
They ain't got no Louis to
13. There was a Melissa's cupcakes right there, you know what I mean? I had a tiny peanut butter cupcake with my Riesling. You know what I mean?
Dude. Yeah, man, but I appreciate you for having me, man.
Thank you, man.
Congratulations on this, man. And thank you for letting me do the introduction.
Hey, yo, that was, fam, listen, I've had a hard time.
Mad pussy, George Washington.
Mad pussy, George. Yeah, and it was wild because that's how Victor discovered me, right? Like, was the Victory Light blog.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why I'm like, the Victory Light podcast is like a return to form to that. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just, yo, this is digital. There's no corny studio exec being like, hey, well, here's some notes. I think if you said this and that, it would be really. I'm like, bro, I don't give a fuck about all that. Because you don't know what the fuck. You're not a comedian, fam. You don't do this. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what the fuck do you know? So the best thing about this is that you get to do whatever the fuck you want. And when I was doing the blog, I wasn't doing it with any aspirations at all. I didn't even know what a blog was. And like the dudes on my block, you know, there's always like one, like the computer nigga, you know what I'm saying? That like, he knows about computers and the internet and shit. And like, yo, he's, can you burn me this CD?
That was your job, the bootleg.
Yeah, you the bootleg. Yeah. Yo, this new Clue tape came out. Can you burn this shit for me?
Yeah.
So he's like, yo, I'm gonna start a lifestyle blog. And I was like, the fuck is that? He's like, yo, listen, man. He's like, just write funny shit, bro. Because when we smoking and shit, we hanging out, you always got something popping off in your head, you know what I'm saying? Like, that you just come out with, and everybody's like dying laughing. I'm just like, all right, bet. So instead of doing that, but the problem was, my group of friends is apathetic weed heads, you know what I'm saying? So after like two posts, they threw in the towel, but I'm at work, and I'm going to work an hour early, you know what I mean? Charles Junior High School 117. I'm there sitting before I got a clock in, I got an hour. So I don't know how it was, you know what I mean, for you growing up pre, you know, entertainment. But for me, I was angry all the time. Cause I used to see shit and it was like, yo, this shit is not attainable to me, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way I could get this. So I was constantly in like this weird like state of like anger. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, fuck this shit, man. Like, I could barely pay my rent. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want some weed, bro. Like, I don't even got enough money to get weed. I used to go on Twitter and be like, yo, PayPal me money for weed, somebody, if you love me, please. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and motherfuckers would PayPal me $50.
It's wild when you say that, because it's like, growing up in Alabama, like, Birmingham is like all black. Like, Birmingham proper.
Yeah.
Is 75-80% black people, right? So all you see is blackness, and then you got a lot of positive old black. You can do it, young brother.
Yeah.
How? I don't know, motherfucker, but you can do it. Just not in Birmingham, but figure it out. Go to college. Like, it's always just get out of here, go to college.
Right.
We always thought niggas like y'all in New York, if you was choosing to thug it out, like that was a choice. Like, you didn't understand the systemicness of oppression and racism and operating within a white system because Birmingham was black. So I saw black people doing all right. You had black people that had a front yard, a lawn. Yeah. Not a front yard, a lawn.
Yo.
I knew niggas with lawns. And I knew niggas with an old Cutlass in the front yard with a dog living under it too. So I saw achievement.
Yeah.
So you could feel like it was there. But then, because I was like, the goal was always, man, get to New York because everything's shiny in New York. You're not even thinking about Pac and Juice and all of that. Like, that's an anomaly. But if you get to New York,
it'll happen. Straight.
Bro, then I got to college. I got to FAMU. And I met niggas from Miami who had never seen the ocean. Like, just on, like, the way life can keep you trapped in your situation and on your block.
Yep.
I'm like, the ocean is, nigga, it's 20 minutes.
You can smell it.
And then you get here, and there's niggas in Brooklyn who've never been to Manhattan for decade and a half. Like,
fam, when I got the job at Vice, they were like, yo, you got to self-report. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? You know what I mean? That means, nigga, you got to bring yourself to work. We're not sending you a driver. We're not sending you an Uber. You know what I'm saying? You got to bring yourself like it's a regular job. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So I'm driving my 05 Honda Accord tank cloth interior, dented up like a fucking the last tuna can on the shelf.
Nice.
Just mad as fuck, driving to Brooklyn. As a Bronx dude, like, to your point, it's like, fam, I've been to Brooklyn like 5 times in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And I'm like 30 years old at this time. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, bro, New York is so fragmented. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can go. You know, the internet kind of like melded it a little bit more together.
New York is just New York.
But back in our days, you know what I'm saying? Because we've been there for a certain age. Like, it was, fam, you from the Bronx. You're from Queens. You're from Brooklyn. And my man George Foster, shout out to George Foster, Big Foss, he said some shit like, what's the biggest example you've seen of, like, achievement? He said some shit like, a house with an upstairs. I quote tweeted this shit and I was just like, nigga, a house. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, when I was growing up, my grandmother, yo, so like everybody landed in Washington Heights and then my family moved to the Bronx and then like two of my uncles moved to Jersey. You know what I'm saying? Then my uncle that lived in Jersey had a house. So we would go visit them on Sundays and I'd be like, oh shit, like nigga, this grass. Like, we used to get out the car and be like, and touch the grass, like, yo, this is crazy. They got grass, yo. You don't gotta walk to the park. Like, they got a lawn, they got a driveway, yo. They can park the car in their crib. This is crazy. Like,
bro.
So just that, you know what I mean? Like, that disconnect, because I want to ask you too about Alabama, because like I have never been. I'm trying to go out there and explore America, because it's like there's so much shit that I ain't seen. You know what I mean? Because I've been to DR 100,000 times.
You would be the Dominican Bourdain. If you just travel, that's the pitch. Wear your sleeveless bubble vest, which is the official I'm not from the South.
The bubble vest in August?
You might be a North Carolina nigga. Like, that was like...
You a little brother nigga.
Bro, you on... Fonte. Shout out to Fonte.
Documentary is fine, by the way. Y'all killing it.
Bro, that whole, the assessment of the East Coast is so fucking real, because at FAMU, like, you got to understand, like, Birmingham was just regular black people, just regular black Americans. We are all descendants of Dr. King. Like, yeah. Everybody there is related to Dr. King. You
or
know,
some
John
civil
Lewis.
Rights leader, yeah.
Exactly. Then I got to college. And in college, that's when I met my first Caribbean. Like, the idea of black people from other places other than just the South and slavery did not happen till college. I did not meet a Jamaican until I was 18. I met my first Puerto Rican in college. I thought I met one in seventh grade. Turned out he was Guatemalan. We didn't know what the nigga was.
Yo, you suck. I don't know, nigga. When your mom comes, you start talking different. That's all I know.
Like, to us, New York was anything DC and north. Like, the East Coast was New York. And then you think it's New York till you meet a nigga from DC. And then you meet a nigga from Philly. And they go, no, let me clarify for
you
the differences. And this is the nomenclature. And
we
blah,
got
blah, blah,
beards.
Blah.
And yes. We do this. And we, yeah. And
yeah.
Fam. And it's so ill to me, because the way you describe Alabama as like, yo, there's nothing but black folk around.
Birmingham. I didn't say Alabama.
Well, right. Yeah. See, that's the New York nigga.
See?
Like, well, Alabama.
And that's what we hate about y'all.
Birmingham is Alabama. Atlanta is Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I go, you Bama ass nigga. Like, wait a minute, motherfucker. I'm from Birmingham. There's a lot of culture and barbecue. Yeah. We tried to raise minimum wage to $15, but the white folks in Montgomery made us drop it back to 10.
Yo.
So Birmingham is just like super progressive blue city surrounded by, much like Atlanta, surrounded by red state. But I mean, you know, a lot of tech, a lot of banking. Huntsville is jumping too because of the space program. But I'm not going to oversell it on the nightlife and entertainment side, which I think is kind of how people also assess a city. But you
I'm
know,
40, nigga. I ain't trying to do all that.
Bro, I love Birmingham the way you love the Bronx. I know sooner or later, that's where I'm going to be back. I go home, like, motherfuckers ask me all the time, I haven't done a show in Birmingham in 10 years. And they, you don't come do a show here? Probably never. Probably the last show I ever do.
Right.
Because the first show I ever did was in Birmingham. I'm home so much on the charity side of the game, I can't get people to pay money to come see me at home.
Right.
I don't even want to do that.
Nah.
Like, and if I did, it'd be for some charity,
something.
Raise money for the baseball field thing. So, you know, I love the crib. Alabama is much smarter than people give it credit for, because all of the crazy shit come from the small account. Like right now, as we're taping this, there's a police officer that tased a black man while he was handcuffed and she's on leave. And they go, see, Alabama, that town is 5 miles from the Mississippi border. Put that one on Mississippi's account.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's, they gotta listen. How do you was doing the NBA shit with the point differential? I'm like, yo, you gotta do like a distance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how close were you to the border of this? You gotta claim that.
Let he whose police department has not tased a brother.
Throw the first pepper spray. Like, come on, man. Like, y'all know what cops do, man. Like, cops are cops. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, it's a smart and progressive place. There's a lot of people trying to make shit pop down there. The issue is you have a lot of pushback at the state level, and then you just don't necessarily have, like, Alabama's one of them places where only people from Alabama can truly help Alabama. It starts with us. And a lot of those people leave and never come back and never do anything. They never do anything to pour back. It's Dark Knight Rises, Batman climbing up out the cave. That's leaving Alabama. But Batman threw the rope back down in the movie.
Right.
Alabama, a lot of people don't throw the rope back down in the cave so everybody else can get up out the fucking prison. So that's what I'm trying to do as much as I can without overextending myself, because I still got to raise a city kid. I'm not going to take my son from New York. It's too late for him. I'm raising a city kid. Yo, the first time he saw grass when he was like three or four, like when he was like properly walking and could walk barefoot, wouldn't walk on grass barefoot. He's like, what the fuck is
this?
It's
just going to stab me.
Yeah. Because you from New York, you don't fuck with barefoot.
Nah, barefoot.
You don't.
You crazy? I'm not coming out of my apartment barefoot. I'm not. Yo, if somebody drop a package, I'm putting on Tim's to walk 2 inches outside my door. Because I know somebody done threw up. There's a needle out there. There's a condom.
Yeah.
Something is crazy happened. Even if you fucking. Yo, I don't never want to see a black light of any apartment I ever lived in my life. Boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but this your grandma's house. My mama in the suburbs of Birmingham, she got a lawn.
You know what I'm saying?
With automatic sprinklers.
Yo, Roy, I'm going to
take your shoes off, boy.
Yeah, run around.
I dabble back home as much as I can, man.
And that's the shit, too. Like, you are one of those people who was born in New York, lived in New York as a child, dipped as a child,
first grade.
Then was essentially raised somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, yo, the people that do that become icons, because I'm like, yo, I could only think of three people that did that. Michael Jordan, Tupac, and Roy Wood Jr. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I mean? You on that Mount Rushmore of motherfuckers that came to New York and was like, nah, you know what? I'm going to go over here. You know what I'm saying? Make it happen.
It was more of my mama going, nigga, you tripping. Let me take my son. Get down to Memphis for a quick minute. And then my daddy got to Birmingham and he called up. And you right. I was tripping.
Come on.
Come on back to Birmingham. Come on to Birmingham.
Baby, come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. They used to work back in the day. They don't work no more.
No, not me. Yo, it's Roy Wood Jr. and you're listening to Victory Light. We'll be right back. What happened to Big and R&B? Somebody was talking about that. Shout out to Naima.
Baby. Like, please. Please. Motherfuckers, they don't say please no more.
Fuck you, bitch. I don't care. I got another hoop.
I'm coming to drop some dick off in that mouth. Like, what the fuck? Well, you're not even singing that shit. You're just saying it.
How many marriages do you think Usher has ruined with his Vegas residency?
Oh, man.
And I'm not talking like Keke Palmer drama. I'm talking about just base level. He did 100 shows. That means there's 100 lap dances. Every show, Usher dance up on somebody.
So let me say something. As a Dominican dude who's well-versed in the bachata, you know what I'm saying, genre, Romeo Santos has been doing that shit for decades, B. Like, you will be sitting with your lady at the show, and, like, Usher's dancing on him and whatever. Romeo, he'll break the show. Like, yo, intermission, I just did my biggest banger joint. Stop down, curtains draw, they open.
Yeah.
There's a big-ass Shaq's crib-sized bed on the middle of the stage. He goes in the crowd, he picks a random, you'll be sitting there with an engagement ring, holding a hand, we just got married. Girl. Come on, shorty, come here, whoop. Brings up on stage.
I'll fight you.
Jumps on this, they get in the bed, he throws the covers over both of them, they rolling around under there. No. And then he just like, he gives a kiss or whatever. And then he goes, so nasty. And woof, he launches into a song. And Shorty's just sitting there like.
While
the song is happening. Now what the fuck you think is going to happen on that car ride home, bro? Like, you know what I'm saying?
There's
like,
no car ride home.
You feel me? Like,
there's no car ride.
I'm like, why would you do that?
Why don't you go backstage with that motherfucker? Yo, I've watched a lot of this Usher footage on Twitter from just random people. I follow a lot of just random people.
Same here.
And every clip, Usher is just uncomfortably close to what was a happy couple. You don't go to an Usher show and sit up front if your relationship is on the rocks.
No.
That's an expensive ticket.
Don't do that.
That's an expensive ticket. That is a we are solid as a couple purchase.
Fam.
And then you sitting up front and then Usher come up and just stress test your whole fucking relationship. Fuck marriage counseling. You want to know if you got a good relationship?
Go to the Usher show.
Go to the Usher show.
Go to the Usher show and wear something for Fashion Nova, boo. Wear some Shine Fashion Nova shit. You know what I mean?
He's dancing on Janelle Monáe, but as far as we know, Janelle Monáe's single.
Listen, and this is the shit. Like, I'm the type of dude, I'm very fertile. I can't do shit like this.
And Usher is sweating and shit.
Come on.
Down a leather jacket. And, like, that's...
And he got the Vanson on. The Vanson was like the I'm getting pussy in the 90s in New York jacket.
And the thing is that because men are so perverted, we don't have a woman that can bring us on stage the way Usher.
You know what I mean?
Janet Jackson is the last person that brought men on stage and did some Usher shit. And even then, Janet was strapped them niggas down.
Yep. Don't touch
you
me.
You got on stage to for Janet to dance for you, they would strap you to that chair like a David Copperfield trick.
Like the Death Row logo, you know, that motherfucker, like, he's just looking like, oh, shit. And, bro, listen, and she would dance on you, but it was like, yo, you in a strip club, yo, because you can't do nothing else. You feel that shoulder. Hey, big man.
Yeah, there's no woman artist should reasonably bring any man on stage.
Come on, because niggas are just too naturally horny. You know what I'm saying? If you engage in some type of sexual act on stage, like, my dick don't know whether we kidding or not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what's just gonna pop up? Yo, what's up? We here. Now I'm on Twitter. Yo, Janet Pumero on stage. You got a dick all hard. He looking like strapped in an electric chair. He's looking nervous.
Yeah, like, they gonna clown your ass.
You know what I mean? You're getting fried out here.
Yeah, it's I respect Usher, but I just think it's unfortunate that he used his music to create so many beautiful black moments over the decades. And now he's tearing them all down.
It's Discord. He's like, yo, he wants to let it burn for everybody else now. Yeah. Like, I did that shit. I already did that shit.
Usher made y'all fall in love. Now he's gonna break everybody up.
That's what Vegas is for. That's why. Listen, it's Vegas. It's the Vegas. He's like, yo, I'm gonna go take my career to Vegas because you know what happens in Vegas.
Yeah.
Stays in Vegas. So I'm here to ruin all your relationships.
You saw what he said to Neil Long? Bro, Neil Long tweeted because Usher took a break for the holidays for the show. And Neil Long tweeted, my only regret this year is that I didn't get to see the Usher show.
Oof.
Usher quote tweeted, I'm back February 17th.
3 days after Valentine's Day. Get them tickets for your boo. Y'all gonna be taking different flights
and
home.
And we gonna see a clip of Neil Long getting serenaded and shoulder shimmied into sexual oblivion
by a sweaty ass Usher.
And then the Houston Rockets gonna go on a 10-game losing streak. Zima Udoka is gonna be.
He's gonna be calling everybody a bitch.
He don't know what play to call.
Hey, hey, Malik Monk, you bitch ass nigga. He's like, Bob.
Double tech, you gotta go.
You gotta get him out of here.
Getting teed up. I'm telling you, when Neil Long goes, now I'm not really a betting man, but you know, if we want to get into sports gambling,
let's do it. I love it.
When Neil Long goes to see the Usher show, bet against the Houston Rockets for the next week.
For the next month. Because men are weak mentally sometimes, man. I feel like when you got a good woman, bro, and she's just like, yo, fuck you, I'm done with you, that shit fucks you up.
Yes.
For a minute, not just a week. That shit'll fuck you. You wake up, you be in a happy relationship later, and wake up in the middle of the night, be like, damn.
And do you see her happy with somebody else?
You're like, God, shit. You know what I mean? I see my ex, and her house burned down, and I was just like, damn.
Like, I'm not supposed to laugh.
I was like, damn, she wasn't hurt. Not happened. She was on vacation when she happened. But I was like, damn, hate to see it.
What's the?
I got a guest room.
Speaking of that house shit and like the richest thing you've seen, I will say the richest thing I saw growing up was I got a ride home from school, from elementary school, in a limousine. One of my classmates, his dad owned a funeral home or whatever. Knowing what I know now, the nigga picked us up after a funeral.
Oh, yeah. He's like, it was a hearse, by the way. Nigga,
flowers and casket in the back. And I remember getting in this limousine, and this is like 1985.
Yeah.
And it was a fucking microwave in the limousine. We didn't
85?
At the time, we didn't have a microwave at the house.
At the crib.
And this is one in the car? I'm like, what the fuck kind of money?
Shit.
Your family got.
You know the president? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how Adrian, you think the president is the richest motherfucker in the world type shit? Like,
now that I'm older, all I can think is, who the fuck is heating up snacks on the way to a funeral? What are you cooking?
What are you cooking, fam? What is appetizing?
What is the purpose of this amenity?
We about to go see a fucking corpse full of PCP juice.
and you making a baked bean burrito in this shit, bro?
Not the formaldehyde.
Come on, man. You talking about, yo, let's pull over at 7-Eleven and get some hard-boiled eggs to heat up?
Yeah.
Before we go see Nana?
Yeah.
That's that crazy.
That shit's wild. I just, what I've learned about wealth over the years, though, is that there's always another level that you haven't attained. Like, I'm not, like, how do you fucking, shout out to the homie Tommy John again, who I did Last Comic Standing with. Tommy said some shit. He said, the burden we have as successful comedians or successful entertainers is that you can't teach your kids poverty.
Yo.
How do you teach gratefulness? Because you can't simulate it. I can't drop him off in the hood. Like, we take our summer trips to Atlanta and you hang with rougher cousins, but that's just 2 weeks. That ain't enough.
Right. That's such a crazy thing to me because I got four kids, bro, and, like, they're young. You know what I'm saying? My oldest is about to be 13, and he's the one that had the longest tenure in the Bronx. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he walked up and down the Ave with me. We went to the bodega. We saw, you know, people that are down bad. You know what I'm saying?
He's got a foundation.
Right. So he has an idea. So, you know what I mean? Meanwhile, my 10-year-old is the one that, like, reps the Bronx the most, but got the least amount of, like, tangible shit to pull from. You know what I'm saying? And, like, he'll come out and be like, nah, fuck that. I ain't from here. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, fam, you lived in Jersey for 5 years. You know what I'm saying? You're 10. Half your life, you know what I'm saying, has been here. So, like, that, like, and that's the shit, teaching them gratefulness. So what I did was I sent them, this is what they did to me when I was a kid. My pops and my moms, and I don't know if this was to teach me to be grateful or if it was just like, yo, we want to fuck around the crib because we live in a two-bedroom apartment and we can't fuck with all three of y'all in the house. They would send us to DR, like, to live, you know what I'm saying, for the whole summer. End the school, pack your bag, you're not coming back till the day before school, you out there the whole summer.
Holy shit.
Fucking selling avocados, riding a donkey down to the water,
milking cows. Fucking system.
For real. Like, yo, go ahead. So I did that with my kids. I was like, let's see how this works out. But I'm like, you know, it's a little bit different. They got Wi-Fi and shit down there and shit. My parents got, you know what I mean? So my 10-year-old was like, motherfucker, I'm bringing my PlayStation. He brings the shit with him, and it's just like he's at home, except he's not. You know what I mean? And, like, I don't know with you, but, like, with my parents, they not the same as they was with me, with my kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's they grandparents. So they way softer. They not like, hey, get the fuck off that shit. Because my pops would be like, hey, get there. My pops is a very serious dude. I'm like, yo, no, come here. Stop that. Don't smile in flicks. Like, this man's wedding, he looked like he was on trial. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, just, you know what I mean? So I sent them over there thinking they're going to get that type of, like, discipline and, like, you know, fam, like, you're not going to get all the shit that you get here in New Jersey, you know what I mean, in Bergen County and Franklin Lakes, you know what I'm saying? Because I tell them all the time, I'm like, yo, this is Candyland, B. You know what I mean? When I was growing up, like, the field was not nice. We played baseball in a dusty ass sand lot. Y'all got everything as perfect as turf. Everything's beautiful. So when I sent him out there, my oldest son actually kind of gleaned something from that. He came back and he called me. He was just like, yo, dad. He's like, yo, it's crazy. He's like, yo, the Wi-Fi out here is fucking trash, bro. And I was like, yeah, motherfucker, there's this one tower in the whole town. You know what I mean? So he came back and he had, like, an appreciation. My 10-year-old came back. He's like, yo, he was calling me. By the time, like, it was elapsing, the time was over, for his trip there, he was just, like, hit me every day, like, yo, bring me back, come get me.
How much longer?
He was in jail. And I was just like, fam, I sent you there to understand that where you're at now, you're in a very privileged position, B. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you live in a life that a lot of motherfuckers ain't living. I didn't live this life growing up. You know what I mean? Not even close to it, but, you know, it's my that son, shit is challenging as fuck, man.
My son is peeping it a little more now when we're on the train, because the train is the proper slice of all levels of New Yorker at one time. And so we'll talk about people, you know, on the way back up. Yeah, that person, they were probably dealing with something. There's people like that that's dealing with stuff. There's people that, there's, when we walk to school, there's a couple homeless cats that's always in front of the Dunkin' I go by. And I speak to him every day. And he's like, why is he out here every day? I'm like, he's asking for money. He doesn't have money. He doesn't, like, so he's finally starting to figure that out. I have not decided yet the idea of chores for money. He does chores. He helps around the house. And you get rewards, like a little screen time. Like, we don't do video games and all that shit yet.
Oh,
he's 7.
Lucky you.
So, yeah, he can get it from his friends. I know he's going to figure out a way. But in the house for now. I'm trying to keep him focused a little longer. Because once that beast is unleashed.
Oh, it's over.
It's over. So I'm trying to get as much neurological foundation as I can and work ethic and all that other shit first before he be a little dope fiend.
Yo, I'm telling you from the other side, bro. It's crazy.
So, like, trying to figure out those that value system is hard because there's nothing I can deny him. And then also got the fear that, all right, if I don't give you this, what are you going to do behind my back
right.
to go and get it? So I need you to be coming to me when you need shit. So if I'm not going to give you money and give you a way to earn, I got to provide or explain to you why you don't need that particular thing.
And this is crazy because it goes right into the next question I was about to ask you. It's like my kids never knew, well, my oldest did, but like for the most part, my kids are like, daddy, his job is TV. Daddy's on TV.
That's what my son, that's all he knows, that yeah. you work in TV.
Daddy works in TV. So, therefore, daddy is rich. Daddy got unlimited money.
So, my son knows I do stand up too. He understands the concept of I stand on stage and I make people laugh because right. it makes me happy and I make them happy. I get a little bit of money for it. But his classmates might see me in like some random, Burger King commercial. We saw your dad last night in a Burger King commercial. So they come to school going, your dad's cool. So it's kind of hyping him up. And I'm like, no, nah, man. Oh, no. Like if I'm on the street and people ask to take a picture, I keep it very calm and cool. I take the picture, but as we're walking away from that person, hey, fame is temporary. Respect is what you want. That person talked to me, spoke to me because they respect me. You should be wanting to earn people's respect. Yes. Don't chase fame. Fame is not real. What your friends are saying to you at school about me. You can be on TV, you can be off TV, but what you want is when you're in the real world is to be liked.
Yes.
And so that's going to take years to lay, but that's the foundation I'm laying with him now about fame and what I do and the perception of it. So that he doesn't perceive me the way his friends might, because that's going to change. And then also I may say something crazy.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And that's the shit too. It's like, yo, I do comedy for a living, bro. This is what I do. This is my job. This is my craft, my passion, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I might say some wild shit. You know what I'm saying? In the pursuit of like trying to find a funny way into a topic or whatever. You know what I mean? And now you're going to school, and it's like, you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like your teacher, I don't want your teacher to find out.
A mean thing. Yeah.
Your daddy said this about Taylor Swift and now the feds is calling his house. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, yo, hold on. I don't want everybody to know, you know what I mean? What daddy does. Just say daddy's in entertainment. That's what I've been telling
just
him.
Just put it in context for him so he doesn't get a big head and think that, you know, the like Denzel Washington told his kids, we not rich. I'm rich.
Yes. I use that shit all the time. I can be like, yo, give me my shit. I'm like, that's not your shit. That's mine. You leasing it for me.
See, you know what it was for me, man? What triggered it for me, somewhere in middle school, I don't know, 10th or 11th grade, like my parents, like as the marriage started kind of coming up, as the wheels came off their marriage, my pops would just do the bare basics. Mm. Lunch money, groceries. Might pay the light bill, might not this month.
Right.
So he might be, you know, across town with another situation. So the lights might be off one night. Okay. Well, I don't like the lights being off. I don't like the heat being off. Fuck it. What can I do to make a little bit of money? I'm 12, child labor laws. All right, fuck it. Let me walk around the neighborhood and rake leaves. So I would go door to door. 10 for the front, 15 front and back. If you said no, or you said your yard looked good, I would take a bag of leaves from another yard I rake and sprinkle them in your yard that night.
Staging the leaves.
Yeah, I would create a situation. I would create demand. I don't know what that is in economics class. I don't know what that means.
You put the work out on the leaves.
Yeah, I would come, you tell me no, I say bet, and then whichever house told me yes, I take those leaves and put them in your yard. and do it at night so you don't fucking, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what I'm doing.
What the fuck, bro? Did somebody crash into my maple? $80 at least in my yard, bro. What the fuck?
And then I would come back a week later. So, what about now? It sure looked like a lot of leaves.
Huh? They're getting wet.
So I just started creating, like, once you want the shoes, once kids want clothes or video games, that's when it's time to create the value of money. I want things other than what you are contractually, legally supposed to provide as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I'm going to pounce on my son, because that's what happened to me. I wanted Nintendo tapes. I wanted the Junior Seau Air Missions. My pops died when I was 16. So I started working, grinding, bro. Like the switch that flipped. There used to be this white boy, white man. Yeah, let me be respectful. I want the Aryan Nation.
They out there.
Yeah, what's your demographic for this show? You got some white nationalists.
Wait, yeah, you already know. It's just going up live on storefront. We're going to the Republican Super PAC tomorrow.
Bro,
I opened the debates actually. We'll talk about later. I was the opening act.
So we were a newspaper fam because my pops was a journalist. My pops did, you know, civil rights journalism. So we watched 60 Minutes, CBS Sunday Mornings. We read the paper every day. So
shout out to your pops for that, though, because I feel like a lot of people don't do that with their kids now.
Straight literacy.
Literacy, bro, from working in education to my kids now seeing that shit, I'm just like, God damn.
Yeah.
Like my mom, when I used to get in trouble, my mom would whoop my ass, but then she would also take out this big-ass Funkin' Wagnalls dictionary and be like, yo, write A. Do A. Every word that's in A, you're going to write it, define it, write the definition, give me a sentence, because she was a teacher.
Damn.
So it was like corporal punishment, but so now I'm doing my blog in 07, and I'm using words like defenestrate, and motherfuckers are like, bro, you sell tray bags of weed. Yeah. How do you know this word?
But also, I can do that.
But also, yeah. I have a vast vocabulary, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we would read the paper. There used to be this column in the paper next to Dear Abby. It was called Dear Percy, and there was this billionaire philanthropist named Percy Ross, who in the 90s had a newspaper column where he would give money to strangers. It was essentially GoFundMe in the 90s. You would write Percy, long sob story about your life, and they would print that in the paper, and then his reply, I can see you're going through some shit, and I'm gonna send you $5,000 right now from me to you. And it's just a white dude just giving away his money in the newspaper.
Where are they now?
So it would be Dear Abby, Miss Manners, and then it would be Percy Ross.
Right.
And so I read that shit every day for years, just this fucking white dude just giving away money. So then one day I fucking wrote him. I was like 11, 12, and I fucking wrote Percy Ross a letter, and I'm explaining all of the issues in the hood and what I'm dealing with and my dad's health and my mom and fucking this, and I'd be sleeping, it'd be cold in the house. And I wrote him, and I never got a reply. And I remember the fucking anger I felt. I remember, and you give it a month, and then it's 6 months, and then it's a year. And at this point, I'm like 13, and it was the first time a switch flipped in my head that nobody's going to save you. No one's going to give you shit.
Yep.
You've got to go and get it. And it's one of the last times I ever asked anybody for anything. And the sting of not being heard, like that shit, I just never forgot that shit.
Duh.
Which is, in a way, that moment is what led to me getting arrested when I was 19 anyway, because part of why I was doing credit card fraud was because I didn't want to bother my mom.
Thank you. Yo, because it's so crazy. Like, that's such a common, like, theme.
Because you ask your mom for money, and you see the micro, like you learn micro expression, you go, oh, she ain't got it.
Yeah.
And then there was nights, bro, I can tell you about nights where I was asleep and my mom thought I was asleep, and I could hear her on the phone calling people, asking them for fucking money, bro. And I could hear the hurt in her voice when she was calling these people. Hours of calls, just call after call after call. And I could not bring myself to bother my mom anymore.
Nope.
So I did as much as I could, legit. Subway and go. Bro, I broke every child labor law you can name from 14 to 18. Like,
yeah.
I. and then you
I didn't believe it. I didn't even believe in child labor laws because, like I said, I was selling avocados
and niggas in Alabama
since 6 years old.
Bro, like I could take you back. Like in high school, I was working 30 hours a week and had a C. The ACT, the only reason I got in college because I knew it. My mom is an educator, so my mom had all the Kaplan books and the ACT books. Same, and yeah. So I knew how to take a standardized test. That's what got me in college.
Bruh.
I did not have a good GPA coming out of high school, but I didn't have a good GPA because my pops died and we was trying to keep the fucking house.
Yo.
So I have to fucking work 30 hours or we're going to get evicted. And then what you think that's going to do to my GPA?
Fam.
So I get to college. That's when I started doing dirt because I'm like, now I got to have the clothes. I got to have the video games. Yep. I'm trying to fuck, Joyce.
Yes.
You can't. I need chaps.
I need jeans.
Ralph
I need
Lauren,
this
motherfucker.
You know what I mean? Like, I need the fucking RLC,
not,
motherfucker.
No, not that. Oh, that chaps. Yeah.
The chaps.
Not polo. Chaps.
Chaps. Yeah, you go to Marshall's, get the chaps, irregular polo. You know what I'm saying? Like, just say irregular under the collar and shit, but you good? Like, you need that.
Nigga
the
broke horsepower. My heart. Nigga broke my heart one time. Kevin, he said CHAP stand for could have had a polo shirt.
Oh! Yo, son.
Couldn't have a polo shirt.
Yo, fam, it's so crazy because, like, I can relate to so much of this shit, man, because
crushed me.
My mom was also educated, also had access to all the test-taking books. I used to grind them shits, show up to school high as fuck, like, you know what I mean? Just not really being a class. Every year in a yearbook, you look in there, Joel Martina, blah, blah, class clown, class clown, class clown, class clown. And it wasn't like disrespectful class clown. It was like, yo, I'm done with my work. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I got 30 minutes to just sit here in space and do nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to crack a joke because that's what I do at home. You know what I mean? That should get you in trouble. But, like, at the same time, the standardized test is the only reason I moved on to higher education. I ended up dropping out. But, like, you know, and that was again, my pops going back to that, yo, we got to provide, da 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 da. My pops is like, yo, I got to provide. My kids is being provided for right now. I set my wife up. She came over here. She got her degree. She's working as an educator.
Yeah.
She's making money. I'm setting us up now to retire. So now he's leaving. I'm 15. He's out of the house. And I'm the man of the house. Because he used to tell me that shit when he would leave. He's like, yo, I'm going to be gone for 6 months, bro. You the man of the house. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I took that shit. You know what I mean? Like, very seriously.
Badge.
Real seriously, because I was just like, all right, they take care of your mother, take care of your sister. All right, bro, what do I do? And this is where another thing that I can relate to you on is boosting. I started boosting like crazy. Like, I would go to Connecticut, Jersey. Me and my little crew, whatever, we would hit New York so hard that the reason that spray paint is locked up in New York is because of niggas like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, the reason why a North Face jacket has that metal wire attached to it at Neiman Marcus is because niggas like me. Because I would just go in there and put on three $500 North Face jackets and just walk out that bitch. Yeah. I had like a homegirl that worked at REI and I was like, yo, give me that fucking little magnetic shit. You know what I'm saying? That fucking... to take the ink tags off. Boop, boop, boop. So I'm doing those. I'm selling those. And I tell motherfuckers, it was noble. And they're like, how the fuck is stealing shit? I was like, listen to me. I would go, we used to call it boosting powders. We would go out OT to like big Walmart, big box stores, Walmart, Target, whatever, and do them dirty and just wipe out all the Similac that they had. And then come back to the hood and sell it to the bodega under whatever they was paying. Well, yo, Poppy, what you paying for Similac? All right, I'm going to sell it to you for less than that. So
nice.
I'm like, all right, so now we got the Similac is in the hood. We got the iron joint. We got all the flavors. Like, oh, you got anemic baby? I got you, baby. We got the Vice, Soul Prime, whatever. Everything. The hair salons. I would go up there and boost fucking hair shit and products and what, bring them back to the lady who got a hair salon in her apartment, 5B.
Yo, wholesale. Shorty,
wholesale, boom. Yeah, I got the trunk full of the shit downstairs. Y'all come, I'll give it to you, all this shit for $100. I used to work at a, I ain't gonna say where, but it's a beauty supply. Same shit. I used to call all the little mom and pop, like, yo, I'm doing hair out of my crib. Yo, come through, yo, da da da. They would push a cart out of there and I would just charge them nothing. You know what I'm saying? I would scan some bullshit and just let them bounce. So, you know, like that. And then my mom's just looking at me like, yo, you got Jordans? I didn't buy you those Jordans. You know what I'm saying? So, like, now I'm starting to feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, ah, man, like, I, like, part of me, like the whole thing is like you're up here for me. You're on a pedestal. You're my mother. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta respect you, and I gotta provide for you. And if you find out that I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm gonna lose your respect. And to me, that's almost worse than us being broke. You know what I'm saying? Because like, yo, if I go to jail, you're gonna be ashamed of me. You know
my
what I'm saying?
Cried, like, bro.
First time I got arrested, my mom was on the phone crying. Yo, what's up? It's your boy, Kid Merrill, and you are listening to Victory Light, you coward. Stay right there.
My mama cried, and that shit crushed me.
Destroyed, BB.
It was nothing. It's two times my mom cried over me. I made an F in geography, I think it was. Sixth grade, I was in a gifted program. I was in the hood, but I was in the gifted program part of the school. So you eat lunch, gym pop, yep. PE, gym pop,
yep.
But the rest of the day, you're in your own little bubble.
Yep.
Now, they ain't really treat me that different because it's still a black school.
Yeah.
It was Central Park, Center Street, middle school. Sixth grade, I get bussed out. I'm on a 90-minute bus every morning. So I'm up at 6:30. So I'm getting shorted on my sleep to go all the way out to a white school for the same whatever, like Chris Rock type of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't like the school, didn't vibe with the teacher. I keep making S, and my mom had tried everything. She had sent me to tutors and programs and just, I brought home my report card. She just cried. She just cried because I couldn't learn. I just couldn't.
I tried everything.
Tried everything. Seventh grade, I was back in the hood, and grades went back up, like just whatever it was. And then when I got arrested, because I got arrested twice, essentially, for the same, all with the same shit. We had credit cards. I can give you a backstory on that in a second. We had a credit card. We go to Dillard's. We had a girl that was working there or whatever who knew that the card was hot, but she was going to approve the purchase because it was the first time. I was a mail sorter at the campus post office.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those days, back in the good old days in the 90s,
yeah.
Credit cards came hot in the envelope.
Yeah.
There was no 800 number. Don't call and verify your
motherfucker, sign this shit and go.
I'm the reason there's a sticker on the front of your fucking credit card.
Please call.
Yeah.
And speak to Steve,
yes.
In India about this fucking credit card.
Put in the last four of some shit that I don't know. So you can turn this bitch
social?
On. Yeah. So, but back in those days, credit cards was hot, ready to swipe out the fucking envelope. And so it was two ways to do it. You could do it at the store and it would prompt the cashier to ask for your ID. Well, if you know the cashier, you circumvent that. And the cashier just hits a button. Yeah, he showed me ID. You can either do that or you can activate the card at pay at the pump. This is also the early days of pay at the pump. So pay at the pump could essentially be the first swipe because the cashier, i.e. the gas pump, cannot ask me for ID.
Right.
So certain cards you could do it pay at the pump, other cards you have to do. So we go, we buy all the shit. And the way we got caught is that she undercharged us for the merch because she was trying to leave more space on the card.
Right.
And after the fact, I'm like, motherfucker, it ain't my car.
It's like, what the fuck you mean? Who cares? It's just burnt.
Just come back again. Why would you do that?
After I get this chaps, this shit is out of here. I'm putting shit in the garbage. It's just going to be trash.
You wash chaps two times. It's done. Them aggressive ass dorm room washing machine.
This is like industrial dishwashers, man.
Snatch
like
the color out that shit. So
all your shit tie dye?
Bro, so we get caught for that. Like they, you know, knowing what I know now, of course it looked suspicious to have. And also I had some cats with me. Niggas is pastors. They're good men now. So
yeah, that's what I do all the time. I'm like, yeah, you know.
I was in the store with a bunch of other good men.
Good guys. Yeah.
Too many people to be buying $900 worth of Tommy Girl. Because also she worked in Tommy Girl. What we would do is buy the shit and then take it to another store for the store credit. And that's when I would do the proper shopping for whatever shopping list I had for people on campus. Because my thing was, tell me what you want, I'll bring it to you, I just sell it to you half price.
Yeah.
So on the footage or whatever, like they're watching us buy all the shit. Whatever system they had in place at Dillard's, security in real time can see what she is scanning and what it is scanning for.
Back then?
Yeah.
Oof.
So they could see that she was underscanning or skip scanning some of the shit too.
Right.
So if it's three things, she scan one, put one in the bag, scan the next one, put the next one in the bag. You know what I'm saying?
The like that. Shit, yeah. One for me.
Yeah. So they caught her on that, and they caught her on changing the prices. She was going in and doing manual overrides on the prices. So that's what flagged it. So
then, she flew too close to the sun.
And so once they flagged that, they flagged the car. The IDs don't match. Come to jail, please. Then.
Immediately.
Yeah, immediately. Then they do the deeper investigation into, okay, well, we have these people on these charges. Now, how did that card that doesn't match Roy's name get in Roy's hand? Mm. Well, who out of everybody involved works in the post office where this card was addressed? Roy. Come on, get this fed, John.
Yeah, come on. Yo, come here.
Hey, man, we need you to come back to jail. One more time, because we forgot to
holler at you because you had the Fed charge.
Yeah,
so we thought back. It was just some regular bullshit, but now we need the Fed shit. Come back.
And that's the one that broke my mama.
Yep.
Because it's Fed.
Yeah.
It's 5 years. Feds don't lose.
No.
You're going to prison. I end up getting probation somehow. I end up not getting expelled from college somehow. I got suspended, but I didn't get expelled.
Oof.
And like that's like where I talk about like how FAMU, that ecosystem. My pops was a professor there. My mom's a grad. They had the ecosystem in place. They had the people in place that could see you for what you could be.
Right.
My issue is that a lot of white schools, I think they see you for who you are or what society has taught them you should be perceived as. Whereas if you're dealing with the right group of black folks, I see you fucked up. But I got a cousin, I know somebody fucked up like you,
yes.
And he driving space shuttles now. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna write a letter for you to the feds and tell them not to send you to prison. And then like, that's the type of support that I got when I should have been like straight up just thrown away.
Bruh.
And I wish they could show, like our court system is so fucked up because they just show the way the legal process is shown on television, it's goofy court show and the niggas arguing over a PlayStation controller. And,
or it's SVU where they solve a fucking triple
super
homicide.
Triple rape homicide.
In half an hour.
Yeah. Your Honor, I'm here because he broke my lawnmower. And I'm like, it's that goofy shit. If you could just go and just watch arraignments, there should be a live camera feed of just arraignments, of just watching people who've just been arrested have their charges formally read to them and the look of horror in the faces of these people who know they've thrown their lives away. It's literally watching a parade of people in real time realize I'm fucked. And if you show that aspect of real courtrooms, it would help put some of that shit in perspective. Like they talk about scared straight and sending kids to prison. Don't send them to prison, send them to arraignments because the nigga's still in the clothes they got arrested in.
I was about to say, I was like, that's when this shit is like, it flips. When you're in prison, scared straight in prison, it's like, oh, we already here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like they need to see the moment where your life changes.
It's literally the day your life changes, bro.
Right there.
And if you just witnessed that, and I was sitting there waiting for my turn to go stand up in front, and I'm like, fuck, I done blew it, bro. I done blew it. And like, that's when like, oh, this is why my mama was crying when I was on the payphone talking to her. This shit really is over. There was a dude, I got arrested the night before Thanksgiving.
Second
time. So I spent a whole weekend. To this day, that's why Thanksgiving is the most important holiday to me.
Oof.
Because like, that's the day everything switched. I did stand up a month later.
I'm just thinking about like the judges and shit. I was like, damn, nigga, you was in there for like 7 days then because there ain't nobody working over the holidays.
Yes,
like,
sir.
You did a little skid, man.
It's Tallahassee, Leon County. I had my own cell. 48 cell pod. Only 4 pods open at a time because they don't want y'all fighting.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to act like I did hard time. There was a basketball court. I got arrested, thankfully, in all black sneakers, and they let you keep black sneakers at that time in Tallahassee, so I could hoop. So I was comfortable.
So y'all had a little day camp situation. Yeah.
Bro.
Damn, peanut butter jelly.
There was a kid that got arrested the same day as me, and he was trying to get bail so he could go and take his final exams to graduate.
Oof.
Finals were the next week.
Dog, that's crazy. Yo.
And the judge hit that gavel and told that nigga no bail.
Remanded, nigga, fuck out of here, fail.
And the howls from that man as they drug him out that courtroom, that's what a 13-year-old needs to see.
Yep.
You don't need to see people who are in the belly of the beast. You need to see people as they enter the mouth.
Before, like, before they change.
Bro.
Because I tell motherfuckers all the time, I'm like, bro, yo, I got a lot of friends that did bids, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, bro, you come home, that's you a jail nigga now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit never goes away, bro. That shit become, yo, that shit mutates you, my nigga. Like, it's you get back up home, and like my man Danny B, like, shout out to Danny. He did 12 joints, came home, solid dude, didn't open his mouth, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Comes home. Now, he's the nigga at the party that's like, yo, whoever could do the most push-ups, I'll give him a cigarette. I'm like, bro, we're not trying to do that. we're trying to, DJ Hassan Hussein is playing, bro. He got this Rihanna blend, bro. We trying to listen to that. Like, we just trying to vibe, bro, and have some drinks and shit, nigga. It's not a push-up contest. Motherfucker coming out, I can't sit with my back to the door. I'm like, yo, nigga, you're in my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're good. Off. You're it's safe. They can't turn that shit off.
I got lucky, bro. I got lucky.
Yeah.
And should have went to prison and got probation.
I say that shit all the time, bro. I was like, thank God. All the hours of fucking community service I did at Marcus Garvey Park and this one and that one, seeing dudes shoot up and dudes fucking in 5 a.m. and motherfuckers shooting up and shitting in the bushes. I'll do all that shit all over again to save myself a fucking month on Rikers Island, B. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to do none of that.
When I tell you that made me so straight and narrow. And probation, you know, what's C. Murder say? Probation for 10 years don't mean you free.
Yep. You on the papers.
That, it changed how I moved around people, and that stuck with me. So I can only imagine what jail does to somebody, because probation, if you are taking it seriously, makes you super paranoid
about everything.
To this day, I don't fucking ride with people I don't know. We getting pulled over, I know there's a gun, and I'm just, because there was a period for 3 years where if I'm in the room with the wrong thing, I go to prison. I don't even know you. And mind you, this is the beginning of my stand-up career. So every night, you're with another headliner that you know got weed, got a gun. I was off paid in cocaine one time. Like, just these are just wild situations. Yeah. You're doing shows for dope boys and shit.
Yeah.
So you just don't know who's doing what. So I'm like, all right, I got to get myself to the venue. I got to get myself home. That's where that habit started from. I never fucked with weed because I had a probation officer that was solid. I actually had a probation officer that cared about you not going back to prison. Right. So I didn't want to let him down. So let me keep my piss clean. So ain't smoked, ain't done none of that. I fuck with shrooms now.
Yeah, I love that shit.
But I joke and I say, I missed the weed window, because the window where you're supposed to get on the weed train and discover it and try all the different strains, and now you can, because like if you smoked dirt weed in the 90s, this is your fucking... This is your Jordan era NBA weed era now.
This is like LeBron playing at 40, and you're like, how is he doing it? Like, I hit that weed, and I'm like, how is this doing this?
It's baseball in the juiced era. It's McGuire Sosa era weed. But you appreciate that because you smoke the dirt. Like, I feel like I'm almost disingenuous getting on the train now. I'm like, I'll just be over here with my liquor and my shrooms. Y'all just enjoy that. That's for y'all. But that's because I missed the weed window. Like, behaviorally, I am, if I walk into a room, I'm scanning the room for felonies.
Oh.
What are the ways to go to jail in this situation? If I'm in a house, let's say I'm over at your house at that same party, push-ups for cigarettes, and two niggas start jaw-jacking and getting a little yelly, I'm gone. Yep. I'm not even telling you bye. I'm gone, because this is going to turn into something, and the police going to detain everybody.
And you see it. And that's the thing. I think that's a. And we're gonna get. I want to transition into, because you're saying that that's around the time that you were starting to stand up, but it's like,
oh, 2 weeks after,
like
they drug that nigga out there hollering. I said, where the fuck is open mic?
so that's what sparked it. Was like, yo, I gotta do something.
Yeah.
Right. So okay, because for me it was similar, but like, you know, it started different. It was different. It was like digital, blah blah blah. But like, it was the same thing. It was like, fam, I don't really want to do this that I'm doing now. Like, it's a very noble thing, being educated. My mom did it. My uncles, you know what I'm saying? But I was just like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's like, you start doing something else and it doesn't seem like a real job. And I feel like you have a supportive mom. My mom is a supportive mom, but she's very pragmatic. You know what I'm saying? And she was just like, nigga, this is not real work.
Oh yeah, she said that about a comedy too.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's part of why I stayed in college, was I wanted to be Stuart Scott. And so the way it happened for me, I was still doing journalism. I started doing stand-up, and then I get back in college. I get suspended for some, because you can't steal from the campus post office and remain a
come on.
Student. Go sit down for a little while, motherfucker. Come on.
Over there. Keep your nose clean, man. Come on.
Back. You got your shit together. All right, come on back. Take your classes. So I'm doing all my journalism shit, but I really wanted to do stand-up. But at the time in Birmingham, this was the rise of Ricky Smiley.
Mm.
And so Ricky Smiley was very important to like my arc as well, because Ricky was the first comedian from Birmingham to, quote, make it.
Right.
It's really the first entertainer, black entertainer of the modern era to be on cable and be known, yeah, and put Birmingham on the map. So it was like, fuck, he doing it and he from the crib. Well, I can do it. And he's on the radio, and radio made you a star back in those days. So let me stay with this journalism degree. So then I go back to Birmingham, I can fucking work in radio and do stand up. And sure enough, as I got the degree, Ricky left Birmingham to go to Dallas to start what would eventually be the syndicated shit he got now. And I slid right in as an intern, and that started 12 years in morning radio for me while doing stand up. And it's wild because I, as a convicted felon on probation still at that time, was able to do literally the two jobs that don't give a fuck about your past.
Yo. That's
so the idea of needing to check a box and hold your head down in shame and go, please hire me, sir. I'm a good one. I ain't gonna steal no credit card. I didn't have to go through none of that shit. So that's, and I understand now, that's why my mom wanted me to have the degree.
Right.
Because the degree is what gave me the protection from having to check. Yeah, I checked the box, but also check the stats.
Yeah.
So it helped. It helped immensely. But my mom, bro, when I started stand up, she wasn't with that shit. We didn't talk for a year. We spoke once a month to confirm the other's existence.
Oof.
Then it gets back to my mom that I'm doing open mics and that I'm sleeping in bus stations. Like when I would come to Birmingham to do open mic, I sleep at the bus station because I didn't want her to know. And I didn't really have no, it's, you 2 years out of college, you can't really couch surf at 20. Like you ain't got the infrastructure. I don't have the partners.
Yeah, slept on benches, bro. Been there.
It's easy to sleep at a bus station and just go back to Tallahassee. It got back to my mom's. I was sleeping at a bus station. She bought me a car. She put down on a Ford Focus. I had to catch the payments. But my mom, even in me doing something that she did not approve and did not understand,
she's like, "Fuck,
she still supported me."
That's yo.
She's still supporting me, bro, like that.
Fam, I'm telling you, man, because I got kicked out of my house when I first got arrested. My mom was like, "You got to go. You got to get out of here. Because your father's coming back in a couple of months, and if he finds out about this shit, he's gonna kill you." Because my pops was like that. My pops was like Denzel in Fences. Like,
sound like Denzel in The Equalizer.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and Booker Eli shit with a long ass duster jacket, like swinging his sword around and machete.
I'm going to whoop your ass. Regret is that I can't do it twice.
You know what I'm saying? So like, I leave the crib and like, I'm trying to find a place to go. Like, you know what I mean? I'm fucking shorty just to stay at the house. You know what I mean? And I finally, my cousin, a room clears up at his crib. I go stay with him and my mom finds out. So she pulls up one day and and it's like, yo, come downstairs. I come downstairs, and she got a Costco membership. And she's like, you motherfucker. She's like, I know you broke. I know you eating shit. Here, milk, eggs, bread,
fucking
rice,
supply
beans,
drop.
Supply, care package supply drop. I'm like, skirt, skate it off. Like, you bitch ass motherfucker. Like, yo, get your life together. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But just like supporting you, but like, listen, let me see where this is going to go. You a man, so I'm going to let you walk your path, but I'm still your mom.
In a way, my mom created more responsibility, which created more focus, because now the car gave me more reach to do more shows, but I gotta come up with $320 a month.
That's a bar, Roy. I gotta focus because I gotta focus.
I gotta come up with $320 for this car note. So I gotta fuck it. Shit gotta shake now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't fuck off anymore. So it really did help, but she was like, that car and my first laptop are the two most important things to ever happen to my career. Like, those two things, like, if we talking just change the game me, and like, really, all right, now I can fucking do some shit. Like, if you're a producer, you get that first NPC or some shit, and now you can fucking make beats. The car gave me reach. The laptop gave me all of the fucking ability to now I can review tape. I learned how to edit, taught myself web design, like all of that shit. Like fucking around in Adobe Dreamweaver.
Bro, back in the day. It's in Dreamweaver. Yo,
fucking
the
Microsoft
shit.
Front page before that. So that gave me, and that goes back to like that probation officer where like, there was like this, so state of Florida, and I don't know, I can't speak for everywhere, but state of Florida for their federal probation division, you can travel for work if it can be verified and proven. It's extenuating. Extenuating is a sliding scale.
Yep.
But generally, you can only travel for birth or funeral. Alive or dead, that's for the most part you can travel. Work if it's extenuating and you can prove it. So I'm trying to get travel permits to go to these various states to do open mics and shit. And he's like, well, can you prove it? And I'm like, no, it's a fucking open mic. There's no fucking...
You know, flyer nigga, I'm not on this shit. Like, I gotta go there.
Yeah, it's an open mic. I called a nigga. He said, show up. He goes, well, there needs to be a flyer or something. I go, there is no flyer. He goes, well, then someone needs to design a flyer. Bing.
Dreamweaver.
And that, so then I would go into the journalism. I worked in a newspaper at the FAMU, and so graphic design, that was part of the whole, like, it's one of the many pieces. You learn everything about a print outlet. So I would go in there and I learned, I was doing Dreamweaver and doing a little bit of front page. And then they had this shit called Quark Express, and Quark Express was like the Photoshop of that era.
Yo, you fucking me up, because this is all shit that I took in college.
Nigga.
That by the time I was dropped out, it was like, nigga, we not using any of this shit anymore.
It's all obsolete. It's all Windows 98.
Like my junior year, they were like, nah, this is Dreamweaver. Nigga, we doing Photoshop. Like,
yeah. So yeah, this is pre-Photoshop. So I taught myself graphic design to make flyers so that I could fucking get permission to travel to do the shows. But now, if I get on an open mic, I will call a fucking club and go, not only will I do your open mic, I'll make you a flyer. Give me $50 for the flyer. So now I'm the graphic nigga for half of the open mic. So now I'm picking up extra time. Tell you what, instead of $50, give me $25 and let me do 10 minutes instead of five. Tell you what, I'll do the flyer for free if you give me 15.
Yep.
Because I got a camera. I need to record a set to send to this club, blah, blah, blah. So I need to do 15. That type of ideation comes if you have a community of people that care about you.
Yep.
And want to help, because I had never thought about that. I never thought to make my own fucking flyers for shows.
No, man. And it's like you're saying, it's a community, and it's like, it's your own, you know what I mean? Like that hustle, like some, like, yo, I swear to God, I think this shit is like, you either got it or you don't. You know what I'm saying? Like that drive.
Yes,
of like,
you can't teach it.
Like, yo, like I got to go get this shit. Cause I got friends, bro, that they like, fam, they can't read fucking a Harry Potter book, but they know how to make money. You know what I'm saying? They know how to keep a roof over their head, keep the lights on, make shit happen. And I'm just like, yo, that's something that, like, you're talking about, like, ideation. Like, yo, if I could do this for you, you're going to give me a look on this side. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just, that a lot of people don't, they're not, they don't have that, bro. Like, they're just stuck in, like, oh, well, if I can't do this, then I'm just stuck. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to do. Yo, somebody got to give me money to do this. Nah, man, like, just go make it happen. Yo, you need a flyer? Make a flyer, fam. You need a script? Go write a script. You don't know how to write a script? Go to the fucking library, dog. Go get some books out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, how to find, I don't even know what the fuck final draft was, B. You know what I'm saying? For the longest time. But I was just like, yo, I got to learn how to use this shit.
I lucked up, bro. I just had so many good people around me in Tallahassee, man. And it's the perfect place. Like, you want to go to college in a town where it's small enough where you can make those mistakes and feel, and it still feels like there's a community. Big, you should, to me, ideally, big college in a small city is kind of the sweet spot, in my opinion.
Right.
But it just depends on if your child needs education or if your child needs community. And I think that is what should go into college as well, because everything about college is, it feels a little scammy now, but in those days.
A little. My man, I got 4529 plans going right now.
At
full, you know what I'm saying? At
529, put the 7,000 in. And that's the cap. I never know. Please,
bro, come on. I'm just this maxed out. And it's like, the more I think about it, like, my wife is 40 years old, fam. I paid off her student loan debt 5 years ago. She graduated in the year 2001, B. And she was going to die with that debt, B. She was paying $250, whatever the fuck, down on the shit every month. And it was just it wasn't touching the principal at all. You know what I mean? It's just interest. Mm-hmm. So she was just like, well, it is what it is. Because she's a white girl from New Jersey. So she's just like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, it's part of the game. I'm like, nah, it's not. Like, no. This shit is a scam. What do you mean? Like, cut it out. No.
I remember when I got back in school, because I was on probation, I couldn't get an internship anywhere. And you need the internship
references to
grow into the industry. And it's like such a rigged fucking thing. And so I'm going around all these TV stations and everybody's saying no. And like in those days, I would pull up, which is still a habit I have now that a lot of people don't understand. Like, I don't fuck with the phone. If I can just pull up on you, I'm gonna pull up and I'm gonna drop off my application in person. Because this is before email and attachments. And even still, today, if I had to go get a job, I would walk in and hand the resume. And then they would go, why the fuck are you here? I emailed it to you too, but I just wanted to see I would come up with a reason to justify my presence. So I couldn't get no internships nowhere. And then every morning when I got up, though, there was a local morning show I always listened to. And I noticed that they don't do news. And I'm like, why the fuck do I need to go do someone else's internship? Maybe they'll just create an internship. So I just drove over to Hot 105.7 at the time. It's gone now, WVHT. And Van Wilson was the host of the morning show. And I go, hey, man, I'm in journalism school. Y'all ain't got no news. Will you say I come in every morning and do a 5-minute newscast on the 10 and the 40 for you? I'll do three national stories, a local and a kicker, and you can pre-record it in the 6 o'clock hour, and then you can run it the rest of the morning. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's a good idea. I go, cool. I need you to sign this form, blah, 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 for credit. I'm coming for free.
Yeah.
Created my own internship. So the way the universe, and the hustle is rewarded, is what I also feel.
Yeah.
So I'm going in and doing my little newscast every morning. On the days my class schedule would allow, I would hang to do it live. But what I really, every hour I would do it live instead of pre-record, because I was hanging because I wanted to be around morning radio.
Yes.
I wanted to see what they were doing. I wanted to understand the mechanics of the show. School teachers ended up being one of my early comedy mentors, William Gilmore. He was the co-host. He was the comedian sidekick. Gilmore was a fucking school teacher. So at 8:05, he had to dip for the 8:30 bell. I did news long enough that after like about 6 months, Van was like, well, you know, when William leaves, you can just stay in and be the co-host the rest of the way. And that's how I got the air check tape that I needed that ultimately got me the job in Birmingham when Ricky Smiley left. And that's because you just call the station and go, hey.
Pull up.
That started 14 years in radio.
Bro, I say this shit all the time. I'm like, there's fucking something Van to be Wilson. Said. Shut the Van Wilson. There's a lot to be said for showing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, because people, this was a thing that came up a while ago. People talking about self-tapes and like versus auditioning in person for shit like that. You know yeah. what I mean? And this is a question I want to ask you too, because like you've done every, you know what I mean? Like commercials, stand-up, radio, movies, TV, every news, everything. What is the not the sweet spot, but like what is the shit that like feeds you the most? You know what I'm saying? Like that, that you get off stage and you're like, or you get off set and you're like, all right, like that felt good.
I say movies the least because it's a script, it's somebody else's words. Mm. It's fun to do. Stand up, I guess, but I've fallen out of love with the way I do stand up, so I'm trying to change that up next mm-hmm. year. I want to get into like more personal stories. I don't want to talk about the world no more.
That shit is exhausting, man.
I got one more special maybe left in me where it's just, hey, the world, an analysis of everything around us. And then it's like, let me tell y'all about me. Tell you about that goddamn dog I tried to poison. They kept chasing me home from school every day. Bro, there was a dog. It's a separate story. But tried to fucking give him hot dogs with rat pellets in it. And like, and the nigga could smell, I don't know if he could smell it or what, but he wouldn't eat it.
He's like,
yeah, it's like, I know what you're doing to me.
You know how many little niggas I bit in his hood?
Yeah.
Try to do the same shit.
So I want to talk more about my life, my son, my pops, that whatever that weird relationship was. Mm-hmm. So stand up is probably the most fun, but I feel like what you're doing now is what I'm the most curious about. Like, I had a podcast, but I think there's something to just raw thoughts and sharing and connecting with strangers. The thing I love most about my old podcast, I had this Royce Job Fair podcast mm-hmm. that we did. And we just talked to people about their work and what they do.
Yeah.
Just tell me about you. Just regular people. There was no celebrities. It's just nothing.
Bro, it's a Port Authority toll booth, dude. You know?
Yeah.
What's your day like?
We talked to a postal mail carrier who's like, yeah, I deliver certified letters to crack houses and I have to get a signature. It's weird.
Like, for some random motherfucker. Like.
Yeah. And it's clearly pharmaceuticals that
don't belong to you.
Yeah. But it's none of my business.
Just sign this shit and I'll be on my way.
Yeah. So. This idea of connecting and talking to regular people, because that's what I liked about The Daily Show. The mm-hmm. Daily Show gave me an opportunity to just parlay with folks who may never have gotten a story told.
Mm.
Like, you're able to just bring a camera and point it at somebody and then throw that footage up on the internet for everybody to know about. Like, connecting with other people, I like that the most, but I can't do that in stand-up because I'm not a crowd work person. I'm not bringing people up on stage to interview. Like, that's just not my flow. Stand-up is where I'm my most comfortable performatively, but I'm more curious about, like, this non-scripted, conversational type space. Not necessarily late night, but there's got to be a way to do satire. I mean, that's the first thing I might do, bro. We might have to shoot a parody of Drink Champs called Juice Champs.
Let's go.
They don't want to drink no more. We just juice.
Yo, we drink it, baby, but it's all organic juices, baby. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly. And you take media, where media is now, and you twist it a little bit, and you can still say something, have commentary, and still, like, make a point and make it funny.
Yeah.
So, like, that's where I'm most excited, but I just don't know where to start with that shit, man. It's like the ideas in my head sometimes, man, it's like being in a grocery store with no shelves.
Yo.
It's just a warehouse full of shit.
Shit is everywhere.
And I don't know what to put together to create the next meal. And like people go, what are you going to do next? I'm like, well, I'm going to do a sitcom and do a movie. But the other ideas I'm really excited about, there's no organization to them. There's no filing, shelving system yet. So I don't know how to put it all together. That's what I'm still working on.
Right.
And that part is hard. And that's something I couldn't figure. I can't sift through a shelfless grocery store while also still working at The Daily Show at the time. That was part of why I stepped away. Because I'm like, I legit need to just slow the fuck down for a minute.
Right.
And just stare at a wall and then figure it out.
Because that shit is, that's a demanding schedule. Because I come from that You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that area of entertainment.
Yeah.
And that shit is just like, yo, we on twice a week. We on four. At Vice, it was four times a week. It's like, yo, y'all on four times a week. There's no writers here at Vice. Y'all got to just cook. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like.
Off the dome.
Off the dome. So like to me, like dudes like you, where it's just like, yo, I've been doing this. I have an hour set. You know what I mean? I'm coming from the other direction that you're coming from, where it's just like, I already know how to do this. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I've been doing for a long time. And when I do stage shows, it is 95% crowd work. You know what I'm saying? I got like two jokes up there that I know in my head are going to hit. And then the rest of it is just like, yo, that's your girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, let's talk about this. Da, 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 da. Yo, let me tell you something about a shorty that I had. Da, 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 da. And then we get into it like that. Whereas I'm like, yo, a dude like you who's like, yo, I got my set down pat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've worked it out. I worked out all the kinks, and I know I'm coming on stage, and I'm going to just deliver. This is going to hit. 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 Like, and the confidence, too, like, to go out and do it, because, you know.
Yeah, it's, I just think that people like us, society, right? I think we just desire more real and authentic connections with people. And there's something about comedy, stand-up comedy, in some instances feels a little too polished and performative. And that's why I don't think it gets embraced the same as conversation.
Right.
Like, you can have your favorite comedian do a clip or something. Now, that's part of why, like, a lot of the crowd work clips work now. It's because it's conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people are gravitating towards. You know, the comedy needs to feel real and authentic and genuine. So if it doesn't feel like that, you know, like, I would argue that's part of why a late night set doesn't have the same gravitas as it did 20 years ago.
Yeah, nah.
Not to say that it ain't shit. It's a good credit to have.
Of
but
course.
In terms of how it resonates with the people who consume it versus a TikToker,
mm-hmm.
a motherfucker in their living room vertical with terrible lighting could get just as many laughs and just as many views and be just as relatable to the consumer. And I think that's the thing about comedy that's fucked up, is that everybody can do it every now and then. So there's no, the idea of the professional curator being the gatekeeper, it ain't like singing.
Nah.
We don't want our singing from everybody.
Nah, I don't. Yeah, listen, there's a lot of national anthems I heard that prove that.
You want your singing and your acting from USDA approved motherfuckers. That's why y'all clown Tubi movies, because it don't look the same as the shit that's, you know, McDonald's McDowell's type situation.
Exactly.
Whereas with comedy, we don't care what makes us laugh, because a laugh is pure. So it could be a TikToker, it could be a stand up clip. It could be a podcast. It's just the more relatable and genuine it is, that's what's going to take off.
Yep.
So I just think the stand-up has to get more, and that's why I want to start talking more about me, because I think that's just more genuine.
Yeah, and that's,
so
and
that's where I'm headed.
And my shit is like, I didn't even know what to talk about, so I just started talking about me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I started there. You know what I'm saying? Because I was just like, I don't want to talk about, like, I don't know. I felt not dumb, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people look at you a certain way when you don't graduate. You know what I'm saying? When you don't finish college, it's like, my mom to this day, she's like, you got to go back to school and get your degree finished. I got like three honorary degrees from schools that I went to for like two semesters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But like that, like, yo, I don't know enough about this to open my mouth on it. You know what I'm saying? Led me to be like, look, you know what? You know what you do know about? You, your neighborhood, your family, the shit that you done went through, your personal experiences.
And it draws people in, and it's perfect.
You know what I mean? Yo, listen, we got to pay some bills. We'll be right back. I don't care what this ad is. If it's for fucking the Mormon church, just do it. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Victory Light episode 11. Onse, you know what I'm saying? For my bilingual people, Roy Jones. I'm about to call you Roy Jones Jr.
I answered to that too.
Yo, y'all must have forgot.
He's the most famous Roy, because he can whoop ass. I don't take offense to that.
Yo, he's going to call you Roy Rogers. You know what I'm saying? Like, Roy Rogers condiment bar is here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Roy Wood Jr., the comedy legend, one of my favorites, you know what I'm saying, is here. You know what I mean? And of course, you're here. So we're going to get into some shit that's going on in the world, because you said that you're about to end that chapter of Roy Wood. Now it's about
2024. That's the last
it's
one.
It's the last one. So listen, he's ending it here. After the Victory Light episode 11, Roy Wood will never comment on geopolitical issues ever again, y'all.
Unless somebody give me that bag and I come back and host that shit.
Let's talk about the bag.
I'll host that shit.
Yo. So, yo, fucking, you know what I mean, off rip.
Oh, God.
We got this fucking clown show, bro. The Republican debates. I don't even know if these are, like, official sanctioned debates by a government anymore. Or these shits are just provide. You know what I mean? Like, yo, by Mammoth Nation, presented by. But
yeah, it was on News Nation.
News Nation. But yeah, I was like, is that a real fucking thing? I ain't even sure. But
finding this debate, I was trying to find a Republican debate. It's like, remember when them Thursday night games first went to NFL Network?
Yes.
And everybody's like, what the fuck? Where the fuck is it? NFL? We had Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, motherfucker, that ain't the channel.
That you turn this shit.
And then they didn't have the channel yet. It was early. I'm old. It was the early days of NFL Network where it wasn't even part of the basic cable.
Red Zone was, it was like, yo, you got a satellite? That's the only way to get this shit.
Yeah.
Well, you got a cousin in college? You better borrow his email.
Bro, the first year of DirecTV, we had DirecTV in college, and a motherfucker, they didn't tell us that you don't have local channels, and the playoffs hit. And we couldn't watch the playoffs.
Ooh.
And we had 12 motherfuckers over to the house. We went to Radio Shack, bought some coax, and climbed and tried to steal our neighbor's cable. Neighbor caught us, was cool with it.
It's your guy.
It said, playoffs. Run it through the patio. So as long as I can come in there and watch with y'all, because y'all got the bigger TV.
Yo.
Tallahassee is the greatest place to commit crimes.
You
make friends every
day. It sounds like it.
This debate, I ain't even seen the clips of it yet, but
it's crazy, bro. And it's to me, it just sounds like because we were talking about open mics before. It's just four bad comedians doing open mics, like roasting each other. Like, you know how them shows they used to set up was like, they'll roast each other, but they're all bad at it. Because the first motherfucker that popped up was Vivek.
Ramaswamy.
Thank you. Shout out to you I know you've been on Daily Show since 2015 because you can say the motherfucker's name without fucking it up.
That was like the last thing I learned before I left the Daily Show.
So he called Chris Christie fat. You know what I'm saying? We can listen to the clip, but he called Chris Christie fat. You know what I mean? And this is what happened.
Oh, Chris Christie, man. Chris Christie won't fucking come over you. That's still a Jersey boy. Chris Christie would 100%. Choke the shit out of you.
I tell motherfuckers all the time that the moment I moved to Jersey, he was still the governor. Or he was on his way out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, yo, this dude, he thinks he's Tony Soprano. Like, he definitely, like, he watched the entire Sopranos. He probably rewatched it when they made it HD. And was like, yo, I'm that dude. Like, I'm the boss of New Jersey. Like, nah, motherfucker, you're a governor, bro. This shit in place. You can't shut down the bridge because you feel like it. You know what I'm saying? You can't shut down the beach because you want it to yourself. Like, that's public shit.
I mean, policies aside, I mean, of those four, but wait, I want to see Christie defend himself. All right, because Vivek be getting under people's skin. Bruh. He know how to fuck with people, bro. He's good at it.
He's good at that shit, bro.
He'll throw you off your game.
His son is crazy. He's like the Draymond of politics, but he just fuck with you and just fuck with you, motherfucker, till you foul out. Like.
Well played, Chris Christie. Defend the woman.
And nobody likes him in his party, which is wild. I'm like, why you, like, you just, are you trying to get on, like, CNN or something?
Chris Christie don't play under Trump. He's not going to live. He don't want to live at Trump's feet.
Mm.
And to get juice in the GOP, you got to live at Trump's feet.
Yeah, he don't
bit.
Want that.
Because everybody else is still low-key playing. They're, like, all of this is just auditions for Trump's running mate.
Oh, yeah.
All these debates are just Trump running mate auditions, because it ain't gonna be
Mike Pence. Yeah, and that's the shit. Like, that's what everybody's saying. He's just like, yo, he's not trying to actually win this shit. He's just trying to give Trump the wild dick flute solo to the point where he's just like, you know what, little Indian boy, come here.
Yes, Hassan Minhaj.
Hassan, my little Hassan, please come work with me.
Little Hassan. Oh, shout out to Ego Wodum on Saturday Night Live. She has been doing an impersonation of Vivek.
Oh, shit, that yes.
Fucking murder.
I was like, I ain't even trying to do that shit because you got it.
Yo, like, it's one of them impersonations where you're just like, God damn. And I'm not trying to say she nailed playing a man like that. I'm just saying the makeup, the way that you just got to see
the cadence
it.
And shit.
You
got to
see, pull up if you can see Ego. Just search Ego Saturday Night Live Vivek. Yeah, you would have to. Yeah, there it is. you dead ass wrong.
That's crazy, bro. But yo, like, these motherfuckers, I feel like the whole shit at this point is just like, it's not even politics anymore, but it's just fucking entertainment. Because, like, I'm watching the shit, I didn't hear nothing about, you know what I mean? Like, anything of substance.
You're,
you know what
fat.
I'm saying?
You're dumb.
You're dumb. You don't even know anything. Do you know about crypto?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just, like, what are you motherfuckers? I feel like, yo, is this the end of Wildin' Out? Where y'all do the wild style and y'all just, like, battle each other with
that,
like,
would be better than this, because at least
up.
We would know who won, because DJ D-Rec would have to cut a screen.
Like, yo, he's yo, get the fuck out of here, V-Rec.
They're not moderated well. I still feel like all debates should have a Tony Reale mute button.
Fam, 1,000,000%. Or a moderator that's like, somebody's gonna be like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a moderator's gonna, like, bite
just
back.
Mute the mic and let Chris Christie finish his point, then turn Vivek's mic back
that's
on.
That's it.
I don't think that most voters care about policy, though.
Yeah, yo.
We're all single-issue voters.
Straight
for
up,
you know?
Bro.
Or that's my guy. I like him.
Yeah, because he does this. And it's crazy because it's like, when you hear about, like, Latinos for Trump and, like, blacks for Trump and this for Trump and that for Trump, gays for Trump, it's like, bro, you... And you go back and you're like, yo, why you... Well, you know, I was getting paid. All right. Well, you were getting paid, like, you were getting paid, but all this other shit was like, abortion got banned. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? Nigga, like, do you care about anything else? Nah. And that's the reality. I'm like, and I say this shit all the time. I'm like, bro, if you like just a regular dude living your regular fucking life and all you worried about is paying your light bill, you know what I mean? It's a lot to ask for you to be like, yo, step out of that and think about, you know, the children
other
and
people,
other people and, like, whatever.
I work in a coal mine. Trump said he bringing back coal. That's my dude.
This dude talk about green energy? I can't bang with them because they're going to take my job away.
The fucking windmill people ain't going to hire coal niggas to work the windmill.
We too dusty.
So all I hear... So all
every
I
time
hear,
you come on the field with the fucking wind turbines, the shit, it looked like Pigpen walked in the room, bro. Let's
so you say go green. I hear unemployment.
Yep.
Which is why what Trump said when he was doing the interview with Sean Hannity the other day. He said, I'm bringing back oil. We're going to drill. We're bringing back fracking, all that shit. Fuck the environment. So if that's what you've made your money on for decades, that's your dude. And you don't care that he's going to deport XYZ amount of people. You don't care that they're going to make even thinking about an abortion a crime. That's what it's going to come to.
Yo, thought police.
Your phone already listening to you. You think your phone ain't going to snitch the moment you mumble, I'm pregnant and I'm not keeping it. Minority Report
what
level shit.
Oh, shit. Here comes Tom Cruise. He's coming to get my ass.
So that's what it's going to come to, man. But we're all about self-preservation now. And that's
crazy,
problem.
Man. Because, like, it's self-preservation. This shit is, like, I feel like everything is entertainment now with this shit. Because it's, like, rap, too. Like, Joe Budden got into it with NBA YoungBoy, who is from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And he was just like, yo, don't fucking play with me, you know what I'm saying? Da-da-da-da. Because Joe Budden came out and said, yo, you're trash. You know what I'm saying? Instead of saying, like, y'all don't fuck with your music, da-da-da, you're trash. Joe Budden apologizes. This is Joe Budden's apology. Like, yo, I jumped, yo, I should, there's another way I should have communicated that.
That's dope. That's dope of Joe.
Right. So then here comes YoungBoy, does a TikTok on a horse. Hey, I love you, nigga. This shit is all entertainment. I'm like, bro, when the fuck did rap turn into at what? Because we're men of a certain age.
Oh, wait,
age.
He's on the horse, and then the horse walks out the frame to reveal like a Bugatti.
Some shit like that.
It was some sports car in the distance.
In the distance, and he's just like, yo, I'm in Utah, house arrest. Yo, I love you, Joe Budden. We're going to do an interview now. Like, I'm like, bro, at what point, look at this shit. At what point did the fucking, did hip hop, because we, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we in our 40s. At what point did fucking hip hop become the WWE, B? Because to me, it was 50 Cent and G-Unit era. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I don't know, man. Was it something else? Was it another point in time? Because it's like, this shit is, like, this, Mobb Deep would have never done this.
My
Outkast would have never done this.
My issue with podcasts as it relates to hip hop is that these conversations used to play out over bars.
Yes.
Not over microphones, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Over beats, rather.
Right.
Than over a microphone. Because if this were Jay and Nas now, Nas would be on a podcast talking about, yeah, you fuck my girl, and then the Hawaiian Sophie thing.
She was corny. And, you can't like, even, your mom, your beard don't connect.
It's like, no, get in the booth and attack this person.
Give me takeover. Give me ether.
Yeah, I just think we're in a gossip culture that has just made things a little bit messier than I would have cared for to see. But then also, I'm 44. Mm-hmm. I can't name 5 NBA Youngboy tracks, and that's not a diss.
Nah.
He is loved. He is clearly people fuck with him. Go get your money, young brother. I support you from the South. Go get the shit. I ain't supposed to know everybody. But you also want to make sure that the artists that are doing stuff, that it's done through music in some sort of way, man. Like, it would have been nothing for him to get in the booth and do a quick 16 and show the same love, and then you get more exposure. You know, I just think there's this need to, ooh, I heard he said something. What you gonna say back? Ooh.
Yo, we waiting for the response. What
yeah,
they about to say?
It's catty.
Yeah, man.
It's catty, but I love the fact that, because, you know, Joe Budden don't apologize often.
Right.
So, the fact that Joe, like, that's, and I think the thing that's dope about Joe Budden in hip hop is that he's still seen by the youngins as an elder statesman.
Right.
So there's still a level of, for him to go out on a horse in the snow on house arrest.
In Jordans. I don't know that Jordan made those for riding.
That's respect. Just on the production quality.
It's crazy. He pulled all the, them cars went out there on a flatbed.
Yeah.
I know he didn't drive that Charger there.
Yeah.
Because that shit ain't built for that amount of snow. It's too much snow on the ground for a Hellcat.
Yeah. So I just think it's dope that it played out this quickly and this cleanly. So, you know, good for them, man. Shout out to Joe Budden for adding some levity. Because he's one of those people that, like, his opinions are very polarizing,
mm-hmm.
but they matter to the people he's given the opinion about. He's like the movie critic that most niggas have never heard of, but mm-hmm. when that movie critic says you're good or bad,
it's like, oh.
Oh, that person? Oh, they don't like me? Well,
fuck you
care whether love or hate, you care.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do in this world.
Yo, so
Joe's carved that.
Yo, you know what else is hard to do? End this fucking podcast, but we have to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's episode 11 of Victory Light. Roy Wood Jr.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I gotta know why Eric Adams is trending.
Oh yeah, let's see.
It's my favorite mayor because he always in some shit.
For Roy, you know I'm a Freemason now, so I just went to the Freemason restaurant. I took a short flight there from Queens to Staten Island.
Oh, boo. Never mind. He going to D.C. to urge President Biden to tackle the migrant crisis.
Now,
Joseph, is too many motherfuckers getting sent up here from Texas?
Come on. I'm just having a nice meal. I hate how he says restaurant. I'm just having a nice meal at this restaurant. And I see a nice lady come by, but then I had to see 6 Venezuelan Guatemalans. And they don't know where they migrating. Joe,
let's go to the club.
Let's go to the club. Joe, let's go to Zero Bond.
Go, that's where it is.
Let's go to Zero Bond. Turn up with Jim Jones, the capo.
I'll tell you a story about that later. Man, appreciate you for having me, man.
Yo, thank you for coming through. Victory Light episode 11. Roy Wood Jr.
This is a good chop
building,
up right here, man.
You know
this
what
is
mean? And this is what it is, man. This is the future. I told you, Victory Light is a motherfucking future. So we got more intimate moments with guys like Roy, you know what I'm saying? People that I love and admire and respect. You know what I mean? We'll see y'all next time.
Victory Light.